Hello, I'm Sue Semeca.
And I'm Mike Sherrill.
Let's tell our viewers about the exciting program we have for them this week on Anthem Alive.
Good idea. We start with a visit by Diane Davis to the studio of artist Neil Portnoy.
And I've seen his work. That should be an interesting piece. After that, we're going to the beautiful Smith Center for the Performing Arts with reporter Bob Goldberg for his visit with President and CEO Myron Martin.
And reporter Cindy Joseph interviewed Senior Assistant House Manager of the Smith Center, Sarah Thielman, who told her about the various devices that are available for patrons with disabilities.
Very useful information for our listeners to know. Following that is the popular segment, Everyone's Got a Story, What's Yours? As reporter Donna Faust interviews Sun City Anthem resident Chris Hayes.
And after that, we'll hear from SCA Fitness Director Tori Crum's Don't Give Up, Part 2. So, now that we've whet your appetite with what you will see and hear in this week's show, we encourage you to stay tuned for
Anthem Alive! Welcome to Anthem Alive, your weekly video magazine. I'm always happy to be co-hosting Anthem Alive and just as excited to be sharing the duties with Mike Sherrill. Let me tell you a little bit about Mike. Mike has been a Sun City resident for 4 years. He's now retired from a career in financial planning. He's active in the Performing Arts Club, Spotlight Club, and Woodchips. He grew up in Newport Beach, California, and lived in Maui for many years. I'm jealous about that. Mike is a competitive master swimmer and just last summer was on a master's water polo team that competed in Budapest, Hungary at the World Masters Games. His team beat Italy for the bronze medal. Mike, you certainly lead a very active and exciting life.
Sue, I do try. And I feel extremely privileged to be co-hosting with this talented and beautiful lady. Now, Sue was one of the original hosts for the show, which I believe was well over 10 years ago. And that was before it was called Anthem Alive. And I'm told you joined the Channel 99 team back in 2004, several years before we went digital and changed our name to SCA TV. Sue has also performed in a number of Kaleidoscope and Performing Arts Club productions, gracing our stage with her charisma and beauty. It's a pleasure to be with you today on Anthem Live, and thank you, Sue.
Thank you, Mike, for those very kind words. Now that you know about us, let's get started on today's show. Diane Davis brings us to the studio of artist Neil Portnoy. You may not have seen him, but if you regularly read the Review Journal, then it is highly likely that you have seen his work. Neil Portnoy draws people for the newspaper. Let's see what Diane Davis found out about him during a visit to his studio. And wait till you hear how many magic markers he has.
Don't play with magic markers. Did your mother tell you that? My mother did. Guess what? Neil Portnoy makes a living at it. Neil, how did you get started doing this?
I started off being a poor person. You know what? Very early in my childhood, family issues, my way out of those issues was I was a good athlete. Like anything in life, ability you're born with, I had the ability to be an athlete. You learn technique. I had good coaches growing up. And you enhance that ability with repetition, practice, practice, practice. I got to the level of playing professional baseball at the minor league level, tore my knee up, became a statistic. You know what? There are two types of people in the world, one of which is a survivor. I'm a survivor. The first show I ever did was up in New Hampshire. It was during the holiday season. It was called the Londonderry Fair. It was a three-day art show, craft fair. And I did black and white Sharpie marker caricatures. And I think I made $400 and went, whoa. And then I started doing all the shows up and down the Eastern Seaboard, always putting the good stuff, my sports artwork, the entertainment artwork behind me. But vanity, vanity, vanity. People didn't care about that. You can do a picture of me in 3 minutes? How much? And I made a living. You know, oh, Neil Portnoy, he's the guy who does the caricatures. all the time, you know, doing the sports artwork, doing the entertainment artwork. So Dorothy and I, my wife, said, you know, we're going to Las Vegas. I'm going to rebrand myself. I'm going to finally get the sports artwork out there.
Did the RJ come to you?
I came to Vegas, had the opportunity to meet Sheldon Adelson. I did a portrait caricature of him, and he said to me, what do you want? I said, I want to work for your newspaper. So we set up the appointment with Craig Boone, the publisher. Craig Boone came here. I went there. He saw what I did and said, we can use you. And that's where it started. One moment in time changes everything. I'll get emails from the Review Journal, from the different editors, from the different departments saying, we're going to do a feature story on this person. We'd like you to do an illustration for this. And then I research the photographs because I work from photos. They give me a deadline date. Finish the drawing, I drive over, done. I'm unique in the fact that you put a brush in my hand, I'm useless. I don't paint. I'm not a fine artist. I'm an illustrator. An illustrator does artwork, illustrates a work of art to be reproduced a number of different ways. It could be on paper, canvas, glass, metallic, but everything I do is done with magic markers. I have in here in the gallery in the studio probably over 3,000 markers at all time. Very few people in the country work in the medium that I work in, and most of it is done for, you know, building renderings, that type of thing. I took it to a new level. The difference in when I work live is I'm literally Don Rickles with a pen. Like, for instance, your hair color would be a cool gray number two. I have that color, so if you ever decide to redo it, I'll tell you what to use. My job is to entertain. Oh, by the way, I do a full color caricature in 3 to 5 minutes. That's the baseball, the eye-hand coordination. I take pens, I flip pens. Clients will say, well, how many do you do an hour? Don't be concerned with how many I do an hour. Be much more concerned with how many am I entertaining? Because my job is to keep people at your trade show, to make sure people at your party are entertained. The end game things when we came to Vegas, I said, I want to be the illustrator for the entertainers and the athletes nationwide. What better place to do it than Las Vegas? And the RJ helps because he gives you the exposure. People give me photos. They can have their parents done. They can have the kids done. They can have their house rendered. They can do a caricature, a portrait caricature of members. They can do their pets. I illustrate everything. The better the photograph, the better the finished product. We're at 1537 West Oakey Boulevard. Or they can go online. Okay. You know, if they go to iDrawPeople.com, they'll see all the work I do.
What a pleasure it has been to visit with Neil Portnoy in his gallery. Don't forget to come and see him at the Lifelong Learning Center on February 14th. In the meantime, this is Diane Davis for SCA TV.
Wow, I have lots of magic markers and I can't draw like that. Hey, even with the guidelines. Anyway, besides being gifted at drawing people, Neil is a very interesting fellow. It looks like that Learning Center meeting on February 14th will be an interesting one.
I agree, Mike. Speaking of interesting, we're now going to hear from the president and CEO of the Smith Center for the Performing Arts, Myron Martin. We're so fortunate to have such a fabulous venue here in Las Vegas, and Mr. Martin is going to tell us just how it came about. Let's listen.
With the opening of the Smith Center 5 years ago, we can now attend plays and concerts, watch the ballet, or catch a quick meal before going to tonight's performance at Myron's Cabaret Jazz Club. President and CEO Myron Martin has invited us to grab a seat near the stage. Tickets, please. Well, thanks very much for being on SCA Television today. This is a fabulous place for anyone to come to, and it looks like it's Art Deco. Tell us about how everything started.
Well, so the Smith Center was created as a place for people who live in Las Vegas to be entertained, to be inspired. We wanted a place that would be like other great cities. The kind of building that looks like it's been here a long time and that will last for generations. So David Schwarz, our architect, did a study before he started designing the place, and he determined that Las Vegas really became a city when the Hoover Dam was built. And of course, the dam is an example of great kind of masculine Art Deco architecture. And he used that as the starting point for designing the Smith Center. Fred W. Smith and his wife Mary B. Smith are our namesake. Fred Smith was the man who ran the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation. He ran the Donald W. Reynolds Enterprise. Remember, Donray Media was the Review Journal. It was Donray Outdoor, all the billboards around town. It was radio and TV stations from about the Mississippi River west, from Arkansas west. When Mr. Reynolds died, he asked Mr. Smith to create a foundation and to do good work in the communities where they did business. And of course, Las Vegas was their biggest market, and they wanted to do something special here. The Reynolds Foundation also wanted to do something special for Mr. Smith, who had run this institution for so many years. And it was their idea that if they got involved in a big way, which they did, over $200 million the Reynolds Foundation contributed, maybe this would be the perfect place to honor Mr. Smith. So, you know, in Washington, D.C., you have the Kennedy Center, and in New York, you have Lincoln Center, and in Las Vegas, you have the Smith Center. But we knew that we wanted to do it right. We wanted to have it completely designed before we started building, because that's the only way you can do these big, important buildings like this. I mean, even the stone behind us is Italian stone. There are a number of reasons why we wanted the stone walls, one of which is that we're the first LEED certified, L-E-E-D certified building of our size in America, meaning that we're a building that takes the environment into consideration. Having these stone walls means I don't have to paint them all the time. It means that there's not sheetrock that's going to get thrown in a landfill in 10 years when we have to start over and make changes. It's going to look just like this 100 years from now.
Do you outreach to the teachers or the community in any way?
Well, now you're touching my heart. We said that this would be not only the living room for Las Vegas, but the heart of education for our community. We've been open 5 years. We've already greeted over 300,000 students coming here during the daytime for daytime performances and master classes and workshops. It's the kind of stuff that really makes us happy. We say education's in our DNA. It's what we do here at the Smith Center, and those are the things that really make a difference. You go to the Smith Center website or call our box office, they can sign you up for a free tour. We do two of them a week, and we would love to have you.
Bob Goldberg, SCA Television, Anthem Alive.
Well, that was a very enlightening piece. I learned quite a lot about the Smith Center. Informational TV, that's one of our primary goals here at the station, and this was but one prime example of that.
Oh, well, we're going to stay with the Smith Center for our next segment and listen to reporter Cindy Joseph speak with Sarah Thielman, Senior Assistant House Manager. Sarah points out that the Smith Center is for everyone, including the disabled, from providing wheelchair service, hearing devices for those with hearing deficiencies, and equipment that prints out dialogue for the sight impaired. And it's a free service. You gotta hear this. Take it away, Cindy.
The Smith Center for the Performing Arts is for all patrons. It's all patrons with disabilities, There is no limit to how they can help everyone. I'm here today at the center with Sarah Tillman, and she will tell us all about what is available and how everyone can participate. Right, Sarah?
Absolutely, absolutely. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So what is it all about? This is for functioning, for people that have necessary, some needs.
Well, what we want to do is provide the Smith Center for the Performing Arts a totally inclusive atmosphere. You may be mobility impaired, you may have other impairments, and that should not stop you from enjoying the theater.
Mm-hmm. Like what kind of impairments?
Well, we have accessibility services for many types of needs. We have, of course, the assisted listening devices, and these devices are for the hearing impaired. If you have a hearing aid or any other type of device implanted, we have what we call an induction loop, that if you do have one of those devices, it can be utilized. We also have an infrared system. If you don't have a hearing aid, this will assist you. And those are for the hearing impaired. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yes, so I wanted, there is also on speaking of hearing as mm-hmm. well, that you can have sign language if somebody can't mm-hmm. hear.
Well, a lot of people read sign language. Some mm-hmm. people don't. The people that do read sign language for our Broadway performances, we offer a sign language performance, the 7:30 performance, every Sunday.
Oh.
And so we're very proud of that. Also, we have what's called an eye caption. And this eye caption can be utilized for all of our Broadway performances. You don't have to have a hearing impairment to utilize it. It could be utilized for people that can't understand a certain dialect, like a British accent. If you're having difficulty understanding it, you can get one of these at our, and all of these are available at our patron service.
And this will give you the words?
Absolutely, it's typed in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a handheld device that will tell you what's going on stage. So if
right.
you miss a word yeah. or two, this will tell you.
Uh-huh.
We also have,
wonderful.
Now that's for hearing impairment. We have for the sight impaired, mm-hmm. audio description. And you would utilize one of these devices. You can sit anywhere in the theater when you utilize this and when you utilize these devices. So you don't have to have a special seat. When you do the American Sign Language, you have to sit in a certain area. And we do have those mm-hmm. held for people that want to purchase those seats in all price types.
Right. And wheelchair. What do you have for people who are in a wheelchair?
We are curb to seat, okay?
Yes.
We offer curb to seat services. If you come in and you get dropped off here for a Reynolds performance, all you have to do is ask the parking attendant for a wheelchair. They radio our department, and we come out there. It's completely free. You don't have to reserve it in advance. If you have your own wheelchair, we can also push you in your own wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have one, we can provide one.
Mm-hmm. And all the restrooms are open for wheelchair accessibility.
Absolutely, and we do have family restrooms if you have a companion come in there with you. And we have those, of course.
So they can sit in their own wheelchair or they can sit in one of your seats?
Absolutely. We provide them both.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a scooter and you don't want to get out of your scooter or wheelchair, we have removable seats that we can place you in.
So there is no reason why people who are impaired have said, I can't, it's just too much to come, and I can't hear, I can't see.
We embrace everybody here at the Smith Center,
right.
and that's one of our main objectives here. We
mm-hmm.
are a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Our main objective is to bring the community. This is our community theater, and we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity.
Well, it was nice to meet you today,
and
thank you
happy.
So much.
Yes.
So nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Cindy Joseph, Sun City Anthem TV, Anthem Alive.
Well, how interesting is that? I am learning quite a bit on this show. I don't know about you. And this is important information for our viewers. I wonder how many knew about those services.
You're right, Mike. Useful information for all of us. Now we have a segment called Everyone's Got a Story, What's Yours? This week, Donna Faust talks with Sun City Anthem resident Chris Hayes about his early interest in music and his career as an air traffic controller. I heard that Chris was in the control tower when the big earthquake hit San Francisco during the World Series in October 1989. I was there, yeah. Let's see what Chris has to say about it.
We're here today with retired air traffic controller and SCA resident Chris Hayes. Chris, you've been a resident of the Vegas Valley for quite a while now, haven't you?
I've been here since 1965. Went to school, graduated out of Clark High School in 1971. The only thing that actually kept me in there was band and mathematics.
Can you tell us a little bit about your band?
With the band, I was also in the Nevada All-State Band as a baritone sax player in 1971. We started a jazz group that we would practice during the mornings, and like a full jazz band, and came in on our own time, and they finally gave us, made it a curriculum, so we got points for that for our graduations. And with that, we were also in a regular private band that I was in. It was called Blueprint. So that's the stuff that kept me going in here. After a while, I was one of those jack-of-all-trades, master of none, and I kept doing odd jobs. And one day I was working as a busboy. I was married, had a child, a busboy down at the Castaways Hotel. Well, they asked me to train a new guy. And I said, sure, no problem, bring him on in. And here came in this guy that was around 50 to 55 years old, and I'm 20, and I'm looking at him saying, this is my future. I got to do something about that. Another thing that pressed that along was the fact that my draft number for the Vietnam War was getting very low, so I decided the only way I could do anything was join the Marine Corps. I picked that over all the other ones because it had the most challenge to it. And so I spent 4 years in the Marines and got attached to the Presidential Helicopter Squadron, HMX-1. I was with them for 2 years. Went on Mediterranean cruise and decided enough was enough with the Marine Corps, got out of there, and got another job out at the Nevada test site. I was an electronics technician out there for EG&G and actually went through a nuclear blast down there. We were doing underground blasting.
Have you always been interested in the aeronautical industry?
And saw an ad in the paper, and they said, we're asking for air traffic controllers. And I thought, that would be cool. I've always liked airports. And so I went down, took the test, scored high enough on that, that a year later, they called me up and offered me a job. And after a year into the job is when Reagan and everybody else struck with the air traffic controllers. I was working down in Los Angeles Center in Palmdale, and I was one of the few people that stayed. That was because of my Marine Corps background. Your word is your bond. And I promised that I would not strike against government. One of the best decisions I ever made.
What was it like being in the tower in Hayward when that big earthquake hit?
It was around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the game was just getting ready to start, and all of a sudden the shaking started. People on the ground said that the control towers in Hayward control tower was leaning left and right, shaking about 30 feet either side. I was up there and I was trying to decide, okay, should I try to run down the stairs and get out or just ride it down when it falls and jump at the end? But luckily, neither one of those happened and we stayed open. We were one of the, we were the main airport that was open because Hayward Airport was built on solid rock.
So now you are a member of the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
About 2 years after I retired and moved back here, I got a notice that I was being inducted, the band I was in, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in Las Vegas. And it was, I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, the band was just for fun when we were done, you know, back as kids and everything. But we had played enough and performed enough that we got recognized for that.
Now that you're retired, Chris, what do you do?
Well, actually, I still work. I retired as an air traffic controller. My retirement lasted about 3 months, and I couldn't take it. I really didn't have any hobbies or anything. But I got lucky and found a job out here at McCarran Airport instructing new air traffic controllers when they come into the valley. I teach them all the book works, all the map works, and all anything that I can get my hands on.
Chris, thank you for your time today telling us about your very, very interesting life.
Oh, my pleasure.
This is Donna Faust reporting for SCA TV, Anthem Alive.
Can you imagine being inducted into the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Why they haven't called me, I don't have a clue.
Nor me.
Now, Chris must be quite a musician. And thanks for sharing your story, Chris.
Next is Sun City Anthem Fitness Director Tori Crum's tip for the week. Don't give up, part two. I trust everyone paid attention to part one last week. Now Tori is going to touch on some mistakes we all make, especially beginners. So listen up.
Have you begun exercising regularly, yet not seeing the results you want? Or getting sidelined by pulled muscles or other injuries? Feeling tempted to drop out because you're just so bored? Well, don't give up on your fitness program just yet. Maybe the problem isn't the exercise itself, but the way you're exercising. Exercisers, especially beginning exercisers, often make the mistakes that keep them from getting the most from their workouts. Last time, we talked about a few of these mistakes we can avoid. Let's touch on a few more. First and foremost, rushing your reps. Doing weightlifting repetitions too fast raises your blood pressure and increases your risk for joint injury. It also compromises your results. The safest way to use strength machines or dumbbells is in the lifting phase, exhale for two counts and hold briefly at the top of the contraction. Then, when you return, you inhale for four counts. Simply put, always exhale during the hardest part of the work. Secondly, giving your abs a free ride. Many people do crunches or abdominal machine workouts without ever toning their abdomens. The problem is that they're using their upper torso, neck, and head to do all the work. You have to do mindful exercise. The contraction should be from the rib cage all the way down to the hip bone. Put your mind into the muscles that you're working and keep all the other muscles quiet. Thirdly, doing outdated exercises. Still doing exercises you learned in high school, like windmills or leg lifts. Some of these oldies are a waste of your time, and others can even cause you injury. Take a group exercise class or work with a personal trainer to freshen up your routine. Another one, skipping the warm-up. Without a warm-up, you're asking for your body to do work before oxygen and blood flow even have reached your muscles. You increase the risk for injury, and with cardiovascular exercise, you raise your heart rate way too fast. Before you exercise in earnest, spend 5 to 10 minutes going through the motions of your workout at an easy pace to raise your body temperature from the inside out. If you don't warm up before lifting weights, you risk torn muscles, and not to mention, you won't be able to lift as much weight as you want. Get your blood flowing by spending a few minutes on a treadmill or even an exercise bike or even just walking in place. Don't forget your cool down. Don't come to a sudden stop at the end of your workout if you don't cool down. You risk muscle soreness because you haven't flushed out the lactic acid out of your system. It takes 5 to 10 minutes at a slower pace, depending on your fitness level, to let your heart rate come down. And lastly, and most importantly, skimping on water. Muscles need fluid to contract properly. So if you don't drink enough, you can get muscle spasms and aches. If you're thirsty, guess what? You're already dehydrated. Drink water before, during, and after exercise. And unless you're a high-intensity athlete who's depleting electrolytes and potassium, you don't need Gatorade. Water is your preferred drink. So try this week to avoid some of these exercising mistakes and even implement some of the changes to freshen up your routine and keep the momentum going, because you can do it.
Tori always has good advice for us, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
Now it's up to us to follow it.
Oh, that's right. But Mike, you know, we begin this week for this edition of Anthem and Live on January 29th, National Corn Chip Day. Oh, honest, look it up.
You know, we here in Stubbville, Nebraska, just love our corn chips. Well, Wednesday this week, I can top that, is National Hot Chocolate Day. You know, hot chocolate has both antioxidants and flavanols. Don't ask me what flavanols are, but they must be good for you, right? Very healthy nutrients. Just skip the sugar.
Well, this week's edition of Anthem Alive spans 2 months. We air starting on January 29th, and our week ends on February 4th. And you know what February 4th is this year, don't you?
Indeed I do. I finally got that date with that long-legged chorus girl. Oh, and it's also the Super Bowl, number 52 to be exact, held at Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
It will be the second Super Bowl in Minneapolis, which previously hosted Super Bowl 26 in 1992. It will be the sixth Super Bowl in a cold weather city.
And we have two cold weather teams playing on Sunday, the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. No matter what your team, there is guaranteed to be a lot of celebrating the Super Bowl Sunday.
Mike, did you know that both Super Bowl Sunday and Super Sunday are registered trademarks of the National Football League? Celebrating is really big business.
Well, I guess so. You know, viewers, there are always things to celebrate, every day. And we can celebrate living here in Sun City Anthem. Lucky to have the neighbors we have, the weather we enjoy, and our very own TV station that allows us opportunities to bring you informational and entertaining programming just like this one.
I really enjoyed the show today.
That makes two of us.
Let's tell our viewers what they can look forward to next week.
Well, next week we will start with a piece from the Veterans Corner with Veterans Club President Paul McDowell. That will be followed by reporter Bob Goldberg's segment of Inside Outside Las Vegas.
Then we will have reporter Larry Carroll present the Board Roundtable headline edition on communication strategy. That should be interesting.
Sure should be. And following that will be our always informative and humorous buffet boys, John and Carl, with their review of the Orleans Medley Buffet.
Renee Riendo will then be back with another of her very perceptive movie reviews. She will be sharing her thoughts on the very popular movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and let us know how many boxes of buttered popcorn she is awarding the movie.
Ah. Plus a few other surprises that we know you'll enjoy.
Sounds like another really good show.
Well, from both of us and the entire SCA TV family, we hope you enjoyed this week's show and that you'll tune in again next week for what promises to be another excellent Anthem Alive.
Bye for now.